I actually had time to get on the CB radio and say, I've lost my brakes going down the mountain. Does anybody have any advice?
Yeah. Yep. Tell me a bone.
I'm just like that. And some guy came back and said, when you hit the ramp, hit it dead in the middle, because if you get one wheel in and one wheel out, your truck will flip.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Hayden Alabama Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Cliff Abbott.
Mr. Cliff joins us today, him and his beard, and he joins us with 40 years of trucking experience. 13 of those are on the road, and that's what you're going to get is some great trucking stories. And I'm excited because I have been reading this, which is his book, Chronicles of American Trucker, that he wrote, and it details a lot of the stories. We can't give them all today, or they might not want to get the book. So we got to make sure they leave a little mystery for the book. Not only that, man, he is an artist. By artist, I mean songwriter, singer, performer. Remember Mac McAllister, Sugar Creek Music Club. He's a regular up there helping out with that. And then did I cover everything that you do?
I think so.
I don't think so. I think there's more than
Sunday
I'm leaving
school
out.
I teach Sunday school at Crossroads Baptist Church. I'm a Sunday school teacher.
CRBC.
I was the youngest person in the class, and to this day, I'm convinced they chose me because they figured I'd last the longest. Mm. It's a senior class.
Hey, so planning ahead.
Yeah.
Something to say about
I
that.
Think
you
so.
You don't want to get new teachers every year.
No. That's right.
So. Well, good deal. We'll just sit back, and we're fixing to hit the road through story. So, Mr. Cliff, take us somewhere.
All right. Well, the first chapter in the book starts off with Sandstone Mountain, and that was the only major truck accident I had in my time on the road. Was I lost my brakes going down Sandstone Mountain. It's about, they say, a 7% grade. I think it's more than that. Started down the mountain. I don't know if you know anything about truck driving, but when you descend a mountain, you select a gear and a speed, a target speed. So if you want to go 35 miles an hour on your way down the mountain, when that speedometer gets up to about 40, that's when you mash the brake and you slow yourself back down and you just keep it within 5 miles an hour or so of your target. Unfortunately, when I mashed the brake, it kind of said what,
there.
You know, and there was nothing there. It was like stepping on a tomato, you
squishy.
Know, so, yeah.
So, bad feeling.
So we ended up rolling down and ended up going into the runaway truck ramp, which was pea gravel. And the speedometer goes to 85. The needle had gone all the way around the bottom and start back up the other side. So I'm guessing somewhere around 100, 110 miles an hour. And
that's a scary
and hits that pea gravel and sank right in. You know, it went about 700 feet. Just had a lap belt. Didn't have any shoulder belt, but I had bruises on both hips. But got stopped safely and thank the Lord, you know, I come out of it. Okay. But the last thing that happened when I went into that gravel was I had a console up above my head with a radio and a tape player, and I had a little cassette tape fly out of there and whack me right in the middle of the forehead, just as the truck came to a stop. And I actually had a little dot of blood there, you know, so we get the paperwork done. I get to the hotel. The truck's in the shop. And I got a hold of my wife finally and let her know I was in an accident. She used to be a nurse. So right away, she said, you have a head injury. You've got to go to the hospital. I said, it was a plastic cassette, you know, just a little dot. Yeah. Nope, you got a head injury. Don't go to sleep. You got to go to the hospital. So I talked to her for a little bit longer and finally convinced her I wasn't going to the hospital over a little tiny tape. So then it was time to get something to eat before I laid down. I hadn't eaten anything since about 4 o'clock in the morning. No restaurants anywhere around the hotel, but there was a gas station a block or two away. So I go to the gas station. Luckily, it had some hot dogs, you know. So I got a little something for supper, carried it back to the room. And when I get back to my room, the door's standing wide open. And I'm like, what in the world? And I walked in there and there's this little, like, I think he was an Indian fella, Middle Eastern, had my bed lifted up, was looking under my bed. So I barged in the room. What in the thunder are you doing? He says, I look for you. I said, why would I be under my bed? He says, your wife calls, say you hurt head, you die. So he was looking for my body in my hotel room. So
I had done got on the horn.
I had to call the wife again and say, we're going to let this one go, honey. I'm just not going to go to the hospital over a dot in the forehead. So so that ended up being kind of humorous. It took a while to fix the truck, cost a lot of money. But, you know, there's always good things out of things, too. So.
Well, take me back to I want to go down the mountain with you.
Okay.
So you've selected your gear. You're headed down the grade. You know it's going to be even with brakes. Yeah. This is a test.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, what were your first thoughts when you push that brake and it goes to the floor? Well, what first went through your mind?
The first thing I'm thinking is there another way to stop the truck? You can't downshift because if you don't get it back in another gear, it's even worse.
Then you're in free.
So
free spool.
And you can't use the emergency brake because it's activated by air. And I don't have any air. I've used it all up trying to get my brakes to activate. So, so then it gets to, what do I do here? It's a long time. I mean, you'd only have a minute or two, but when you're living it out, it's slow motion. I actually had time to get on the CB radio and say, I've lost my brakes going down the mountain. Does anybody have any advice?
Yeah. Yep. Tell me a bone.
I'm just like that. And some guy came back and said, when you hit the ramp, hit it dead in the middle, because if you get one wheel in and one wheel out, your truck will flip. I said, well, that sounds really good. Thank you for that. You know, so I went on down and hit that. And I had time for prayer as well. And
had a little time for prayer. A little time for prayer.
You know, and it's funny to think about, but really what I asked for is, Lord, if you're ready to take me, I'm ready, but don't let it hurt too bad. You know,
let me just get on out of here.
Yeah. Take care of my family while I'm gone. And you know, that kind of stuff.
So he answered two prayers. I ain't really ready for you. And I'm only going to give you
I never said I wasn't ready. Huh? I said, I'm ready, but you know, just don't let it hurt too bad. You know, so.
Take me to the gravel pit.
Yeah.
It says pea gravel. And any kid who's ever run around and got into pea gravel, you realize that you ain't moving fast in it. So that makes sense to me. But is that common for there to be a pea gravel pit?
Something that won't pack. It could be a coarse sand or pea gravel or whatever.
But those are common on the road. I'm not looking for those. I don't drive trucks.
When you go up and down the mountains a lot of times, like Mount Eagle in Tennessee, you'll see runoff ramps.
They're not on everyone, but there are some places that have them. So fortunately, that one did have one.
Yes.
Did you ever think about not pulling in it?
You know, the guy from the county that picked me up asked me that question because he had to take me all the way to the bottom of the mountain to make the U-turn and come back up to the office. And I said, not really. I was already going 105. I knew there was another runoff ramp, but just half a mile beyond the ramp that I hit, there was a big wide turn to the left and a guardrail and a whole lot of air on the other side of it. So good thing.
Would you have ever made that turn?
No, never would have. Because I was driving, I was pulling a sand tanker, so it's a pneumatic tanker, and they're top heavy. And there's just no way I would have made that curve without going off the road. So,
are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not. But just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama, has law services. Or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show.
I lost my brakes one time. I did, but I went an 18-wheeler. I was in my little 3500 pulling a skid steer.
Okay.
And I took it to the shop that day, or maybe the day before. It was pretty recent. And I said, something's going on with my brakes. They just don't feel right. And I don't know if they were in a hurry or what it was, but they checked it. And I said, hey, everything's ready. And I said, what'd you do to it? Oh, it ain't nothing wrong. And I was like, man, I just don't believe this. Well, I had work to do, so I went and picked up the truck, got my skid steer, and took off. And I was going up 157 there at West Point where the red light is.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, no one was in front of me. But that red light goes green, yellow, red. Like, it's just that fast, you know. It just doesn't ever seem like there's enough. So I start applying the brakes, and I'm starting to slow down, but then it goes just right to the floor. Like, and I thought, this ain't good. So when I go through the red light, it had just changed red. So there wasn't any cross traffic.
Just get started. Sure.
So, and there was a slight uphill grade there. So I was able to just peel over into the right-hand turn and stopped on top of the hill up there and then press my emergency brake. That's a scary feeling when you don't have any control over stopping.
It is.
Well, that was a good one. Where are you going to take us now?
Well, I think I'll take you to You know, a truck driver can be boring. You're sitting behind the wheel 10, 12 hours a day. And one of the things you're going to face if you're on the road is road construction. You know, just it's unavoidable. I had kind of a regular route through Illinois that went through a construction area, and they had they block off the right lane with just the road traffic cones. I don't know how I did it, but I figured out that if I kind of steered right and then left real quick and did kind of a crack the whip, I could get those trailer wheels to just kiss the side of one of them cones. You couldn't run it over. The idea was to kiss it, and it would skitter off the road like a bowling pin, you know. And you couldn't do every cone because there wasn't enough room to maneuver the truck, but I could get every other cone, you know. And I started keeping score of how many I could get. And I think my best was about 22 that, you know, without missing. And it was funny because you're in a one lane, and obviously you're looking in your mirrors and you're looking up ahead to make sure there's not a cruiser sitting up there somewhere. So I did that, and I started knocking cones, and I was feeling all proud of myself. And when we came out of construction zone, there was a car full of teenagers right on my tail all the way through there. And they were laughing and waving. You know, it was great. So, but I had a buddy that had followed me one day when I was going down there. And so when we stopped for breakfast, he says, "Well, tell me how you do that."
Oh, yeah, we got to know.
You know, so I told him, you know. So the next day when we came through there, he started knocking down cones, and I knocked some, and he knocked some, and we got out the other end. And probably 5 miles after we got out of the construction zone, he's getting pulled over by a police officer. Well, I'm not stopping.
No.
You know. So when I got to the plant where we were delivering, I waited for him, and he got there, and I said, "What happened?" He says, "Well, I got a ticket." I said, "Well, did the policeman see you knocking him over?" He says, "Well, no." I said, "Well, then how did he know it was you?" He says, "Well, I run over one, and it was stuck under the front of it. He was dragging one down the highway." Man. I said, "That's not what you're supposed to do."
So yeah, you can't do that.
You know, so I felt bad for him. But on the other hand, I was still champion, you know, and that's what counts.
And you're just going to roll on.
Yeah.
If you're in the market for a new house, I want to tell you about our latest sponsor, Vantage Plus. So they're general contractors. They specialize in new home construction, but also they do some dirt moving work. So clearing land, making roads. Y'all check them out. We'll make sure that we link the website and the phone number in the show notes.
Can you tell us about a time when you got in a bind like that, or you were supposed to go down a road that just didn't look like it was going to happen?
Well, I've been on a mountain road in Kentucky one time that I had no business. I mean, it was so sharp you couldn't turn a curve without your trailer going in the other lane. And all you could do is just go really slow and make sure you look as far ahead as you can. You know, it's there was a time coming through, I think it was Ashland, Kentucky, where I had somehow gotten off the truck route. Now, it didn't bother me because I had a flatbed that didn't have a load on it, so I wasn't too tall. But I followed it, and I ended up where you had to make a sharp right turn and then go under a bridge. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty low, but the problem was I couldn't make the turn with enough time to, for my trailer to straighten out. So when I hit the bridge, my trailer was like this, you know, but they have a little rub rail on the side of the trailer. So when it hit the concrete on the side of the bridge, it just straightened the trailer right up behind me and I just ran on down through.
Moving on.
Yep. Friend. Watch it for police all the time.
Yeah. Checking them out. I have given some truckers some firm talking to when I was with a railroad. Mm-hmm. I was with the bridge department. And I got called out all manner times of the night. Bridge strikes.
Oh, yeah.
So and so trucking companies hit the bridge at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. And of course, they're just trying to do a job. But we tried to make sure that the signs were posted. Hey, there's a height on here. Yeah. And they wouldn't pay attention to those height restrictions for nothing. They just driving down through there. And I guess 2 o'clock in the morning, who's really that sharp at 2 o'clock? And they not many folks real sharp. They're a little tired, a little sleepy, and they just wedge it right underneath those bridges. I had to go down there and yank them out, and I got to do an inspection.
Oh.
Man, I'd get so aggravated, but it's just one of those things.
It's amazing how much damage a truck can do to a bridge, too. You wouldn't think so. It's, I mean, this bridge is pretty solid, but they can do a lot.
Those videos of guys moving, you know, U-Haul vans or whatever, the moving trucks, van trucks, and they hit those bridges and it just peels it open like a tuna fish.
Yep.
That I was just always cracking me up. Say Coleman, whatever that Instagram group is, that
Coleman posts, Daily.
Coleman Daily.
Yeah.
You know, they had a low bridge somewhere. You know, there's several of them right there. And that obviously that person, it was like a Penske truck or something. Probably somebody that is not used to driving it anyway.
Yeah. Sure.
And like me, I'm not thinking about how high my vehicle is because I never had that problem, especially in the Sabre because it's riding low.
Riding low.
Man, they had, I mean, whacked it. That bridge had given that thing a flat top, boy. Yeah. Just took the whole thing off. And I thought,
Well, you think about it when you're driving your pickup or your car. When was the last time you thought about how high your vehicle was and if you'd make it? You clear everything. You never think about where your back wheels are. You know, they're going to follow the front wheels. But when you're pulling something 53 foot long, you better know where them back wheels are.
They get stuck quite regularly over here on County 9. They'll go, or County 7, you know, where the tunnel,
the tunnel is. Yeah.
They'll get through there and they almost have it. Not today. Those big long ones get stuck in there.
Yeah. I don't like driving the car through there, much less an 18 wheeler.
You can't really see what's coming anyway. So
I don't know how many times I've went, I'm going to get some top hat. And they said, no, you ain't today. You're going to have to go around because there ain't no shortcut.
I'd like to know how many one lane bridges or one lane tunnels are left in the United States.
A bunch. Yeah. A lot more than you think. Yeah. A lot more.
It's amazing.
Well, that's the only one I know of.
Well, you know, the reason for that is because the railroad is more or less in control of that. They're like, we ain't stopping this train. You're going to go through that one lane tunnel there. Yeah. And Hayden, matter of fact, was a one lane tunnel up until.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I was a kid still. Yeah.
96 or 95, 96
was it that late?
Yeah. We were almost into high school.
Really? Okay.
It's hard to believe now as much traffic is out there on that road, but used to it wasn't a big deal. The most I think I can, as a kid growing up, I ever remember waiting was four cars.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, you stay in your lane. They'd come through, one go through, they come through, you go through. And it worked out.
Yep.
Today, it would be a disaster.
It would be a disaster. When they open, we always say that, when they more or less open the floodgates, when they open that up to a two-lane, or it could be a four-lane now, as wide as it is. But when it went from one-lane tunnel to four-lane, that's when Hayden just kind of,
You didn't have all the schools there. I think you still had the one that's might be the middle school now.
But yeah, the high school and the elementary school was there.
Okay.
That's what we're saying, two.
Two. Mm-hmm. The little middle school, it was right in the time of when they built that, first middle school, which is now the elementary.
I was in sixth grade.
Mm-hmm. It was around that time.
Okay.
But that's when things really started changing in Hayden, Alabama.
Well, no pun intended. Let's get back on the road. Tell us another story.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you a story. I'm going to tell a story of my son, who is now 40, and he's my hero. He went to Afghanistan and Iraq twice. But when he was about 8 years old, I had loaded up a flatbed trailer on a Friday. It was supposed to deliver on Monday. And when I finished strapping the load down, I jumped off the trailer, I sprained my ankle. Mm. So I got home and I took an aspirin and wrapped it up. And when I got up the next morning, it was this big around. Mm-hmm. It just all swelled up. So we went to the emergency room. And they said, you broke your leg. Well, I hadn't, but that's what they said. And they put a soft cast on it. Well, what am I going to do? I've already got the load on my trailer. I can't give it back. So I talked to my son. I said, you want to go on a trip with Dad? I think he was 8 or so. He said, well, yeah, I'd love to. I said, okay, you're crutch boy. When we stop and I get out of the driver's side, you meet me there with my crutches. And that's how we worked it and went up there. And every time I stopped for a rest area or something, he was there and I called him crutch boy all the way up there. So, so we get up and make our delivery. And then my next load wasn't too far away. I was going to pick up a load of cross ties and bring them back down by the house and park the truck, go to the hospital after I delivered them. So had to go on this little dirt road about 5 miles up in the woods right next to the railroad tracks, just, you know, way out of town. Well, I got there early, so we stopped at McDonald's and had something to eat. And on the way out, there was a fella sitting at a table selling strawberries, like he'd grown them on his farm or something. So I said, you know, you want to get a quart of strawberries? And he said, yeah, get me one too. I said, you're going to eat a whole quart of strawberries? He said, yeah. And so I bought 2 quarts of strawberries. And by the time we had got back on the road and got up that dirt road to where we were supposed to load, he'd ate his entire quart and half of mine. I mean, that boy was packing them in.
Strawberries.
He sure did. So unfortunately, now the crew that was going to load the truck was out to lunch. So I got the truck turned around and parked and ready to get loaded. We were just leaning up against the trailer waiting on him to come back, and he starts fidgeting.
Mm-hmm. I know where this is going.
I said, son, what's the matter with you? He says, but Dad, I got to go.
Yep. Yeah.
I said, well, son, pick a tree. You know, I mean, we're out here in the woods. He said, no, Dad, I gotta sit down, Dad. You know. Yeah. I said, well, the advice is still the same. Pick you a tree, you know. Well, he hemmed and hawed some more. And finally, he didn't know how to squat down or do whatever. So I got an idea. I said, I had a 5-gallon pickle bucket in the cab I used for a trash can. Take the trash bag out, put a clean bag in it, put you some paper towels in it. Carry it out there in the woods, and that'll give you something to sit on. You can go to the toilet. And when you're done, I don't even want to see the bag.
No.
Just take it out, get rid of it, just bring my bucket back. That's all I want. So he went and got the bucket and did all that, headed out in the woods, and he was gone a long time. I mean, I was fixing to go out there and find him. Mm-hmm. And finally, I see him coming back, and he doesn't have my bucket. I said, son, where's my bucket? No answer. I said, boy, now I told you I need my bucket. That's my trash can, my fuel That's carrier. My pickle bucket. I mean, I need my bucket. His little lips started quivering, you know. I said, son, what is wrong? He says, the bag had a hole in it. That poor boy. So we left out of there, and I said, you're not Crutch Boy anymore. You're Strawberry Boy now.
That's right.
You've been Strawberry Boy ever since.
A new nickname. You know, you eat all them strawberries. You're going find somewhere to be.
Yeah. So that was a fun trip.
He learned a lesson that day.
He did. I did too. Don't ever buy an 8-year-old a quart of strawberries.
No, that's right. He learned not to eat that many. You learn not to buy that many.
Buying or selling a home should be an exciting and enjoyable time. One thing can position you for the best outcome, and that is experience. The team at White Real Estate has many years of experience in helping their clients maximize their sales and secure the properties and homes of their dreams. Give Darren and Rhiannon White, Caden White, or Ryan Love a call today and begin your journey on a pleasurable buying or selling experience.
I picked up a load of sand and I had to head into Chicago, and it was like 2:00 in the morning. And they got a chain of stores up north called White Hen Pantry. It's sort of like a 7-Eleven or Circle K or something, but they're open 24 hours. And so I found a place to park and went in there to get me some coffee. And they had a sale on these gigantic coffee mugs, you know, so you could get a mug full of coffee for $1. And it was probably a quart of coffee. It was huge. So I bought a mug and filled it up with coffee and put cream and sugar in it. And I'm ready to ride. So I get out of town. I'm going to take the two-lane into Chicago because I'm just not going on the interstate. It's a nice scenic route, you know, a little out in the country drive. And I come out across the top of the hill. And at the bottom of the hill, they've got a red light. There shouldn't be a red light there, but it's road construction. They've got it down to one lane, you know, and you got to have the light to see which side gets to go. Well, I can see a mile down the hill, and I can see a mile up the other side. There ain't nobody on the road at 2:00 in the morning. I ain't stopping. So I come flying down the hill, and I might have slowed down to 40 when I hit the bridge. Well, what I didn't know was they had cut away the pavement, and it dropped about 4 inches or so. And I tossed that coffee so hard, the lid popped off of it. And the windshield was covered. My glasses were covered. It was everywhere in that truck. It took me 45 minutes to clean all that mess up. And I had to, you know, you're on a 2-lane road. There ain't a place to just pull over. And I can't see out the windshield. So I'm trying to drive by looking in the mirror and making sure the truck stays somewhere close to the center line and just hoping there ain't a cow or something in the road in front of me. But I don't run red lights no more. I learned my lesson.
Learned your lesson there. Have you ever been up that road and towards Florence and going across the, it's not Neely Henry. What is that? That
Wilson.
Wilson Dam.
Yeah.
You ever been across that dam?
I've never been across the dam, no.
I went across it the other day, and I was in my truck and skid steer, but I was following behind a big truck. And they might have been 2 inches between his tire and the guardrail on the right side and 2 inches in the center line. And he's just bebopping down through there. He ain't hit his brake the first time. I thought, this old boy right here has drove a few miles. Because I would have been creeping along. These cars passing him, and he's just, I mean, he ain't even checked up.
You know, they taught me pretty early that you got a yellow line on the left and you got a white line on the right, and everything in between, it's yours.
It's all yours.
Anything that's outside of them lines don't even exist. It don't matter.
Don't matter.
As long as you stay between them lines, that's yours.
Man.
And so, because, yeah, you get pretty nervous.
I'll draw it up pretty tight watching him. I was falling behind him, you know. And I said, well, if he can make it, I can make it.
You see it down here in the bridge going over the river.
Yeah.
It's on the way down. I say, it gets pretty tight. And then they did something with the guardrail, and they put some kind of a concrete
thing. They made it even tighter.
Kind of ate a little bit of the lane. And, well, I see people come down there, and they just get over that center line. It's like, well, you're going to have a head-on collision, so you don't scrape the bridge. You know, that's not really a good decision.
They taught us that in engineering school. I took a whole traffic class on like lane widths and designing that right there. And it's amazing. They've got it figured out. They know how much a car will cheat over to one side. And I want you to watch this from now on. When you go across that bridge, if you got a car coming in front of you, they will be over into your lane just a little bit until they have to get back. Because what's cheating them over is the guardrail on the right side. But then you make them get more true because you're coming at. So in their mind, they just naturally cheat over away from it. It's insane how much, I guess, study that they've done on how wide you can make something based on what people's.
Pay attention to that.
Just pay attention to it when you go across one.
Yeah, you can see. Yeah.
Do you ever, when you were loaded up like that sand, for instance, off of you tons and tons and tons, did you ever think about when you're going over these old bridges and stuff, did you ever think about them collapsing as you went across?
You'd watch the weights for sure. Because when you load, if you're hauling sand or something, I was paid by the ton. So I wanted every cup full of sand I can get on that trailer, you know. So I was loaded to the max when I was loaded. I delivered to a mill in Pittsburgh, New Brighton, Pennsylvania. Had a little bridge across a creek coming in there, and I always thought, one of these days I'm going to fall right through it, you know. But what do? You can't get in any other way. So,
just haul across
it. And you'd
take
watch.
A deep breath, stay in her.
Now, I had an inspection in Van Wert, Ohio, where they found a broken spring on my truck. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to be stuck here forever, and it's going to cost me a fortune to have somebody come out and fix it. And so they said, well, here's what we'll do. We'll authorize you to take this road here and go down to probably his cousin or something, you know.
Go down here and fix the spring for you.
But he'd allow me to drive down there. So I get about halfway there, and I cross over a river, and there's a sign on the bridge that said weight limit 6 tons. And I'm like, I'm pushing 80,000 pounds. And he told me to go this way, you know, so.
It held you up, though. You're still sitting here today.
Weight limit was more than 6 tons. That sign was lying.
Wow. I don't know. I'd probably locked out the brake. You've seen smoke.
Sit still for a minute.
No, I mean, what do you do? It's a two-lane road. You can't turn around. I guess I could back all the way up, but, you know, that's kind of scary itself. So.
That is scary. Well, what else? What else? Where are we going now?
Let's see. How about if I tell you about chicken gizzards?
My wife loves them.
I do too.
Does she really? Yeah. Gizzards or livers?
Yeah. No gizzards.
No gizzards. Yeah.
Bethany likes gizzards.
Loves
That's
them.
That's the best part of the chicken.
Yeah. I've heard more than one person say that.
Aren't they chewy?
They are if they're not made right.
I must have had some that wasn't made right.
I mean, if you just throw them in a pan full of grease and fry them, they're going to be tough. But my wife actually boils them in a little bit of vinegar and water for a while.
So
and there's a membrane on them you got to pull off of them. And if you do that, they fry.
You make them with love, they fit.
Yeah, they're just as tender as a chicken breast or leg or anything else.
So, and that's the crushing muscle, right?
Yeah.
And that what crushes the seed?
Yeah, they got rocks. And stuff. They eat rocks. The rocks. But anyway, they're hard to find on the road. And as a matter of fact, decent food is hard to find when you're a truck driver because you can't just stop anywhere. It's got to have a lot big enough for a truck. And but there was a place, and it's long gone, but in Columbia, South Carolina, that made chicken gizzards. And I was starving. I purposely did not eat and waited until I got there and went in and just bought me a big old box of chicken gizzards. And I was driving a cab over truck. And if you know anything about those, engine,
buddy.
There's a big doghouse, which is like me sitting next to this table while I'm driving. There's just all this room to put stuff, you know.
And plenty of heat coming out of it.
Yeah. So I had my box of gizzards there, and I was just getting ready to pop that thing open. And I passed the scale and I got waved in for an inspection. I thought, not now. So, and he started inspecting. He was one of these inspectors that likes you to know what he's doing. So he called me out of the truck and he's walking me around saying, I'm checking this and I'm looking over here and I'm doing that.
That's fine, sir.
And finally he turns to me and he says, you seem like you're in a hurry or something. What's wrong?
You ain't got no idea.
I said, my gizzards are in there getting cold.
Yeah, you know? I don't want no cold gizzards.
And you know that man let me go.
Really?
He did. He said, no, if you just bought some gizzards, you get out and eat them and be safe.
Well, yeah. Gizzard saved you. Yeah. Saved you.
Saved me the rest of my inspection. Who knows what he would have found if I, you know. So sometimes
I would have offered him a gizzard.
Well, I didn't even think about that. I was pretty proud of them gizzards.
Yeah, so. Too good to be given away.
When you find a little spot,
it's special.
Yeah. Go back time.
It was
time
a good
again.
One. It was a good one. So
yeah, she loves them. And I was surprised by that because you're right. They're not prevalent.
Yeah.
And not like Kentucky Fried Chicken, get a leg or thigh or breast, but you can't just go anywhere and say a box of chicken gizzards.
Gerald and Terry tell us about having frog foots, though, wouldn't they? They like them frog foots and chicken gizzards.
Yeah. A lot of places would sell livers, but not gizzards. Gizzards are hard to find.
I want to like a chicken liver so bad. I want to like it.
Shake my hand on that.
I can't do it, friend.
We are in agreement. I want to.
I mean, I try and try and try. Every day, so often, I'm like, maybe this is the
maybe today's the day. I want to. They look so good. They smell good. I'm like, and folks, man, I love them chicken livers. I love it. I'm going to have one. And every time I eat one, I'm like,
I describe it like this. It's like a brand new iron I-beam is laying there, and you just lick a big old lick of it. And that's what it's like eating a
chicken liver.
Chicken liver.
As a big old piece of iron. And it's just squishy. I'm like, I can't do it. Yeah. I want to. Man, I want to.
Because they remind me of a dove breast, which we're coming up to that time of year.
It won't be long now.
And I love them. Man, that's dark meat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They ain't that dark.
Not the same.
Ain't that dark.
You like them?
I don't know that I've ever had one.
Chicken liver?
No,
a dove breast.
A dove breast.
Well, now you,
I don't like chicken
liver. If you
liver,
like
no.
chicken gizzards, you like dove breast. Probably that so. Is 100% okay. accurate. I think you got to.
Mm-hmm. It's dark, but it's good.
Yeah.
Of course, I like dark. I like the legs. I like thighs. To me, the thigh, you said the chicken gizzard. Mm-hmm. We're off subject here, but that's fine. I think most people like to eat. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll listen. To me, the finest part of the chicken is the thigh.
Yeah, thigh's good. Yeah.
You said you don't like livers, though.
I don't like livers.
The iron taste as well?
Well, it's, you know, and plus the doctor told me I'm not supposed to eat organ meat, you know. So I'll make an exception for a gizzard.
I guess a gizzard's more of a muscle than it is an organ.
I can't have
liver's just filter.
Liver's going to filter.
That's what it is,
It's like kidney. I mean, those are just your filters in your body. And so I don't know about eating that. I don't eat either one of them, so.
Well, there's a lot of folks that do.
Teach his own. It's summertime. The days are heating up and the grass is growing. You don't want to spend all that time out there in your yard cutting grass, so why don't you go on down to West Blunt Lawn and Tractor and see Amy and let her put you on a brand new commercial Husqvarna or Exmark lawnmower. Beyond commercial lawnmowers, she has implements such as weed eaters, chainsaws, leaf blowers, and more. Parts service right here in Hayden, Alabama. Located right on 160. Stop in there and see Amy today. And learn how she can help you to get to enjoying more of your summer right now. Well, unless you have another trucker story you want to tell, I would like to shift gears because I believe that you probably have something you'd like to tell us from the songwriting world that you've been. I know that's a passion of yours.
It is. It is. I've actually got 6 CDs of all original music. So it's about 75 songs. I have a website, if I'm allowed to say that.
Say it. Tell them.
CliffAbbott.com.
CliffAbbott.
.com and you can look at any, you can listen to any of the songs for free. You can buy them if you want to. I'll be happy to take you, Bunny.
Sure.
You can buy the book on the site. But if you want either one, either the book or a CD, the best thing to do is come down to the Sugar Creek Music Club Because yeah, I'm don't down call it Supper Club.
We get in trouble calling.
Yeah, so we try to call it that too. Yeah.
It used to be it. Even I still slip up, but I like to help them out down there. I take pictures for them. I man the cash register for them for concessions or just whatever they need me to do. You know,
you got
to
look for a future event down there. We still got to get the storytelling planned.
So. Yeah, yeah, Max, that would be Max that'd be a fun night. That. I think so.
I think it's gonna be awesome. What about, so you, do you lead the songwriting night there?
Yeah, we have a group called the Sugar Creek Song Crafters, and it's for anybody who's writing songs or wants to learn more about writing music to come down and, you know, they can bounce their songs off of us or try them out, or they can get some tips from some of the other folks there. Everybody's at a different level in their songwriting. Some people are worried more about the quality of the song. Some want to know about publishing or copywriting or something like that. And just anything we can do to help, we try to.
Phil's ready to write a song. It's going to be called Two Nights in Paducah. He's ready.
Two Nights in Paducah.
Or Blues Dairy Bar. We haven't figured out. Okay.
All time. Right. Well. You just got to noodle that around.
Got to noodle it around. Really it
comes out. So
really settle down on it.
Get some good verbs, some rhyming words.
Yeah,
it's on my bucket list. I would like to come down there and sit with y'all.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I really genuinely want to write a song.
Yeah. Okay. Well, come on down and let us help you. If you need, you got my number on that card. If you need to call and get together, we can do that too. So. And the other card is the part-time work. I still work in the trucking industry. I work for an organization called the Trucker Media Group. The website's really hard to remember. It's thetrucker.com. So if you can remember thetrucker.com, and you'll see some articles that I write on there and other people as well.
Little Rock.
Little Rock is where the office is at. So I work out of my my remote office in my
remote.
Yeah, that's it. So,
well, that's gonna do it this week. The Hayden Outbound Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Cliff Abbott.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Thank you.